So we should announce from tomorrow that Madhuram distribution will be at 10 a.m. sharp, 10 to 10:05 a.m. Oh, like that? Hey, there's nothing wrong in announcing, na? You don't have to do everything that is announced. Okay, so yesterday we stopped at text number 147. We start from 148. So what is the thing that we discussed in the previous verse? About where our nishta has to be. So now in the next whole sequence of verses, Mahaprabhu is going to expound this principle of Anya Abhilashita Shunyam Jnana Karma Dhyana Vritam. The aspect of Shuddha Bhakti, that is the Ananya Bhakti, will be highlighted. And very beautiful purports. We'll try to read as many purports as possible, because very deep, insightful. It will help us actually reevaluate our own understanding and our own standing in devotional service. Text 148. Koti Jnani Madhya Haya Ekajana Mukta. Koti Mukta Madhya Durlabha Eka Krishna Bhakta.
Out of many millions of such a wise man, one may actually become liberated, mukta, and out of many millions of such liberated persons, a pure devotee of Lord Krishna is very difficult to find.
So yesterday we saw that there are many dharma nishtas. From the dharma nishtas, there is one karma nishta. Out of many karma nishtas, there is one jnana nishta. Out of many jnana nishtas, in fact millions of such wise jnana, there is one who gets mukti. And out of million such muktanam api siddhanam, out of such million of deliberated souls, there is one Krishna Bhakta. So again, highlighting the aspect of rarity of the process of pure devotional service. Like that. So the purport Prabhupada writes this aspect very nicely. He highlights this verse. Bhuktaram ikatapasam sarvaloka maheshwaram suhudam. So this is a very significant verse from the Bhagavad Gita. So if you see, all the karma nishtas, they all come in the category of bhuktaram. So those who are looking up to how to best enjoy, so Krishna is the best enjoyer. Those who are jnana nishtas, who are trying to understand the creation and who's the origin of this creation, sarvaloka maheshwaram, come to Krishna. The yogi nishtas, who are trying to see the Paramatma, he is Sudram Sarvabhutanam. So ultimately, if you are a Karmanishta, Jnananishta, Yoganishta, finally, Jnatvamam Chantri, you have to come to the stage of Krishna consciousness. So if you actually see in the Bhagavad Gita also, where this, at which juncture this verse comes, after having explained the third chapter about Karma Yoga, and fourth chapter about system, different types of yajnas, fifth chapter about detached work, and before introducing the sixth chapter about, fourth chapter is Jnana Yoga only, and sixth chapter about Dhyana Yoga. So he briefly mentions about the process of Dhyan in 5.26 and 27. He summarizes the entire Dhyana Yoga in two verses. Then in 29, he gives like a conclusion saying, irrespective of which path you are taking, ultimately you are all looking for me only. So if you understand me to be all of this, then you will be peaceful. Right? So that is bhukti mukti siddhi kami sakala ashanta. So who attains real shanti? Krishna bhakta. Only a Krishna bhakta can attain shanti. So this verse, Jnatvamam shanti richati, is a very important verse. It is basically like a conclusion of the entire yoga ladder that Krishna is highlighting in the first six chapters of the Bhagavad Gita. The essential conclusion is that understanding Krishna to be the source of the destination, the gati of all the paths, like that. Then that verse is now, in the next verse, this is highlighted. Krishna bhakta nishkama athayeva shanta bhukti mukti siddhi kami sakali ashanta.
Because a devotee of Lord Krishna is desireless, he is peaceful. Fruity workers desire material enjoyment, jnanis desire liberation, and yogis desire material opulence. Therefore, they are all lusty and cannot be peaceful.
Right. So all of these 3, karma nishtas, jnana nishtas, yoga nishtas, there is still an element of selfishness in them. So because as long as you are selfish, you cannot be peaceful. This is a law of nature. Moment there is any tinge of selfishness, you cannot be happy. See, what a contradiction. What are they selfish about? About enjoyment. They think by being selfish towards a certain object or whatever object of the selfishness, they can be happy. But actually, more selfish they become, more miserable they are. And on the contrary, the more selfless you become, the more happy you become. Right? So this bewildering concept, this contradictory concept is something that, you know, the outside people, they cannot just comprehend. But spiritual life is based on this one principle. It is a foundational principle of spiritual life. And that principle which highlights, we realize this through theory, but practically through the attitude of selfless service is how we realize that. So how a devotee, Prabhupada takes that theme in the purport, that he sees, a Krishna Bhakta knows that his friend and proprietor in all respects is Krishna, who is able to do anything for his devotee. So therefore, a Krishna Bhakta is ready to... So many times when we read this kind of, you know, Bhokta Ramika Tapasam type verses, Suhudam Sarvabhutanam, we think in terms of, again, look at the conditional mind, how it thinks, even as devotees. We think, what is it that I can gain in my association with Krishna? Right? Why we are attracted to Krishna consciousness or the devotional process? We think that if Krishna is my best friend, the master and proprietor of everything is my best friend, which means there is something for me to gain. But rather, we will go to the next gear of our devotional service when we start thinking, oh, if that enjoyer of all and master of all is my best friend, and this is the person that with whom I'm dealing with, how careful and how selfless I have to be in my expression of devotional service to him. It's like when you know that you are dealing with a king, you will be careful, right? So when you know, when the king comes and tells you are my best friend, you will not take the king for granted, but rather you will start becoming more serious. So when we come to this stage, this is when we are actually progressing in our devotional service. Usually when we are new, even when we give one-time lectures, this is what we say, right? Oh, can you imagine if Mukesh Ambani is your best friend, how happy you will be? We think, yeah, exactly, you know, I'll get whatever I want. So likewise, oh, if imagine now Krishna, who is the master of everything, the owner of everything, if he's your best friend, how happy you will be? And you think, yes, of course, I will be happy because I will be the best enjoyer. If the best enjoyer is my best friend, I will enjoy equally with my best friend. So the conditioned mind still thinks in terms of course, that is still Sakama Bhakti. It is within the bona fide rung of devotional service, but that is not the highest. We have to graduate beyond that also. So this next section that we are going to read is actually going to force us to reevaluate what is it that we signed up for. Did we sign up for a goody-goody life, or did we sign up for something which is more profound? So that is what Rupa Goswami will be taught by Mahaprabhu now. And it goes to the highest level of what is happening in Golok Vrindavan. That's how the chapter ends. So like that. Then, Muktanapi Siddhanam is quoted. Then, okay, we'll read the translation. O great sage, out of many millions of materially liberated persons who are free from ignorance, and out of many millions of siddhas who have nearly attained perfection, there is hardly one pure devotee of Narayan. One such devotee is actually completely satisfied and peaceful. So this theme, how a devotee is really, when he is nishkama, means he is actually free from the anxiety of his maintenance. This is the, if you look carefully, why are people worried all over the world? What is the source of anxiety? It's like their personal maintenance. right? Maintenance includes, maintenance in the highest sense is enjoyment. But most people are worried every time, say, the stock market crashes. Why people are in anxiety? Why people commit suicide? Because they feel their existence is threatened. Their maintenance is threatened. Right? So, like even just yesterday or somebody, I was discussing with someone that especially as, you know, people in the renounced order in a very nice institution, it's very easy to proclaim your renunciation because you have a backing of an institution. You know, whatever you want is taken care of. But can you imagine yourself in a situation where you're peacefully sitting and listening to katha when you know that there is nobody there to maintain me? I don't know where my food is going to come from. I don't know where my, you know, next whatever, roti, kapda, makan, where it is going to come from. Now we know that, okay, there is madhuram waiting for us during the break. So we'll peacefully sit and hear the class. But knowing that, you know, there's nothing, nobody there to provide me my next meal. I don't know what will happen to me in future, right? So that demands greater deal of surrender from the practitioner's side. So we have to upgrade our quality of faith to that level. So Prabhupada very beautifully highlights this aspect. Who is a Narayana Parayana? What is the characteristic of a Narayana Parayana? So such a person is never afraid of anything. For him, hell and heaven are the same. So this is a very nice point. By the grace of Narayan, a devotee is situated in the most opulent position in the material world. Even by materially speaking, a devotee is very opulent. Just think of it. We get good food. We get, you know, fresh food, hot, organic food, for which, you know, people have to pay a big deal. Like yesterday, Monday feast we were having, somebody was saying that a plate like this, the devotee recently attended some family function and they charged some 650 rupees for a similar meal per plate. They are saying, look, we are getting unlimited and for free. So, materially also in a very opulent position. Rascals are envious of Narayan and his devotees, but the devotee endeavors to please another devotee of Narayan because he knows that by pleasing Narayan's representative, one directly pleases Lord Narayan. This is the secret. We are not just satisfied in accepting the facilities of devotional service, but rather we have to reciprocate back by offering these facilities back in the service of devotees. Not Narayan himself, but devotees. Why? Because Narayan is pleased when devotees are pleased. Therefore, a devotee, this is a very nice conclusion. Who is a devotee that we should offer our services? Therefore, a devotee offers the best comforts and facilities to his spiritual master. Outside which, outsiders who have no knowledge of Narayan are envious of both Narayan and his devotee. Consequently, when they see that Narayan devotee is opulently situated, they become even more envious. But when the devotee of Narayan asks such foolish people to come, live with them in the same comfortable situation, they do not agree because they could not give up illicit sex, meat eating, intoxication, gambling. Therefore, the materialist refuses the company of Narayan Parayana, although he is envious of the devotee's material situation. In Western countries, when ordinary men, storekeepers and workers see our devotees living and eating sumptuously and yet not working, they become very eager to know, where do they get their money? Such people become envious and ask, how is it possible to live so comfortably without working? How is it you have so many cars, bright faces and nice clothes, right? Not knowing that Krishna looks after his devotees, such people become surprised and some become envious. So Prabhupada would many times highlight this theme, either being morning walks or, you know, this one time devotees were going on a nice morning walk in a park. And saying, look at these foolish people, materialists. They work so hard, make these parks, but the best time to walk in a park is in the morning time when the sun is rising and the ambience, but they are foolishly, they are sleeping. So look at them. They don't even know how to enjoy what they are working hard for. But here we are not working. We are just enjoying their benefit. Right? So if you see, devotees are expert in using technology. I'm sure like nobody listens to their MP3 players or their gadgets as much as, you know, devotees do. I mean, outsiders also, like you remember your own days. how much would you listen to music and all these things? Of course, we didn't have any options also. We only listened to music. Now you can hear to lectures, you can hear to recordings, you can hear shloka recitations, you can read, hear e-books, like Prabhupada books are narrated and you can store them. And of course, you can hear different varieties of music. So it's a whole variety that, so devotees are so expert at using technology also. So all these people, I don't know, maybe they'll go back, they'll get some Sukriti, I think. Apple and all these mobile gadget people, and maybe they will get some Sukriti because they're facilitating hearing and chanting of so many Vaishnavas all over the world. Like that. Jai. Hare Krishna. So therefore, that to become a Narayana Parayana devotee, it all begins by serving the devotee and more specifically the spiritual master. So now then another famous verse is going to come. Brahmanda Brahmite Kona Bhagyavan Ajeev.
Brahmanda Brahmite Kona Bhagyavan Ajeev.
Guru Krishna Prasade Paya Bhakti Lata Beach.
According to their karma, all living entities are wandering throughout the entire universe. Some of them are being elevated to the upper planetary systems and some are going down into the lower planetary systems. Out of many millions of wandering living entities, one who is very fortunate gets an opportunity to associate with a bona fide spiritual master by the grace of Krishna. By the mercy of both Krishna and the spiritual master, such a person receives the seed of the creeper of devotional service.
See, Brahmande Brahmite, you should see this. The most important word here is Bhagyavan. Brahmande, so Brahmanda, what is Brahmanda? Prabhupada writes the first verse. When you speak of Brahmanda, we refer to the whole universe or to the cluster of many millions of universes. So how many universes are there? Unlimited. So how many jivas are there? Out of them, how many are getting opportunity to get the mercy of a spiritual master? So just imagine, just even looking at the sheer numbers of things will make us realize, even if you don't understand the bhakti tattva also, the rarity of bhakti also, even if you don't understand, even statistically also speaking, if you look at the numbers, right, we are extremely fortunate. So, it only, you have to, if only we could realize our fortunate position, right. Guru Krishna Prasadepai Bhakti Lata Beach. So, by the mercy of the spiritual master and Krishna, so the purport Prabhupada writes that how, by, when Krishna is extremely merciful towards a devotee, he gives him access to a spiritual master. And the spiritual master, when he is merciful, he gives him the seed of devotion. So that is how the progression is mentioned. Yeah, so such a fortunate person is fortified by both Krishna and the spiritual master. He is helped from within by Krishna and without by spiritual master. Both are prepared to help. So in the, and in that context, Prabhupada quotes the life of Narad Muni. And he continues. Then, now this whole section about how to protect that Bhakti Lata Beej. Bhakti Lata, it's a creeper. So creepers, they keep climbing up. Tick, 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 tick. They are very gentle. Right? So, and they keep going up, 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 and then they keep going up. But it's, you would have ever wondered, why is it not called as, say, Bhakti Vriksha or something? Why is it Bhakti Lata only? Any thoughts on this? Lata needs support. So whose support is that creeper taking? Huh? Some strong devotees association, okay, and? Spiritual master and it's very soft, very tender. So which means any time it can be, it can collapse. Right? Okay. In that context, they are soft. Okay, nice. Yeah, so in one of the purports, Prabhupada writes that actually, the Bhakti Lata Beach cannot take support of anything material. This is an important point to understand. It needs support, But you have to understand, it cannot take support of karma, jnana or yoga. These are the things that usually in spiritual endeavors we take support of. So only when you give up the support of all these things and directly aim for the lotus feet of Krishna, when you take support of lotus feet of Krishna, then only your bhakti lata bij will go up. Otherwise in the process what happens, we may end up taking support of these other things. So that will be highlighted in the next few verses. Mali haya kare se bija aropana, shravana kirtana jale karya sechana, kareya sachana.
When a person receives the seed of devotional service, he should take care of it by becoming a gardener and sowing the seed in his heart. If he waters the seed gradually by the process of shravana and kirtan, hearing and chanting, the seed will begin to sprout.
So this is a very nice purport. To live with devotees or to live in a temple means to associate with Shravan Kirtan process. Full stop, period, the end. Right? So what does it mean to live with devotees? Associating with Shravanam and Kirtanam, that's it. That is what is defining. So anything else outside of this is really not association. Sometimes neophyte devotees think that they can continue the Shravan Kirtan process without worshipping the deity. But the execution of such Shravan Kirtan is meant for highly developed devotees like Haridas Thakur, who engage in the Shravan Kirtan process without worshipping the deity. However, one should not falsely imitate Haridas Thakur and abandon deity worship just to try to engage in Shravan Kirtan. This is not possible for neophyte devotees. So specifically with regards to the Mayavadis. The Mayavadi in that sampradaya, the more advanced the Mayavadi gets, the more they try to disconnect from the form of the Lord, thinking again this is also product of Maya only. And they falsely claim that, oh, we will just study Vedanta. Right? But this is such foolish renunciation is not sustainable. And then he continues that, what is Guru Kripa? He says, the spiritual master trains the disciple to render devotional service unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This is called Guru Kripa. It is Krishna Prasad. Krishna's mercy is that he sends a bona fide spiritual master to a deserving disciple. And by that mercy, one meets a bona fide spiritual master. And by the mercy of spiritual master, you get training. So training, opportunity to get trained is the highest form of mercy a spiritual master can give. Right? So it's again interesting to note. Many times we think mercy means it's like shortcut, honorary PhD. You know, I should be delivered. I'll just hold Prabhupada's dhoti from the back and go to spiritual world. Right? Those things are nice to hear, but we need to work towards them. So, how to work is what the spiritual master trains. Right? So, why to work? Scriptures will tell you. How to work? Spiritual master will train you. So, we have to go through our level of training and we have to make that due endeavor. No shortcuts in devotional service. Everybody has to go through that process of training, purification and application. All these three things have to go together. Right? Because if purification is not happening, then you can be sure that the training is not happening. Right? So if you are feeling that you are being thoroughly purified, literally in the ISKCON lingo, as a word purification as we use, if the purification is not happening, then you should understand that the training process is not happening. So you should be happy whenever you are purified. Right? That the training is actually working on us. So then third stage is also important. Application. So then you will be able to genuinely apply yourself in devotional service and see the transformation. So now this Bhakti Lata Beej is received from the spiritual master by the grace of Krishna. Other seeds called Anya Abhilasha seeds, including Karma Bija and Jnana Bija, also come. If one is not fortunate enough to receive the Bhakti Lata Bij from spiritual master, he instead cultivates his Karma Bija, Jnana Bija, political Bija, social Bija, philanthropic Bija, then other Bijas are also there. He writes, so all these other Bijas which come are the distractions. See, the thing is, we all need some nourishment. If you are not seeking nourishment from the Bhakti Lata Beej, you will start seeking nourishment from Karma Beeja, Jnana Beeja, Political Beeja, Social Beeja, Philanthropic Beeja, right? Of course, with all due respect, they are all important and necessary, but there is a difference between applying to those processes and seeking shelter in those processes. There is nothing wrong in philanthropy or politics or social welfare. But if you base your life only on the basis, if you start to be more practical in our understanding, if you identify your individual self-worth only on the basis of these secondary activities, then it's only a matter of time before which you start feeling discontent and worthless. Because these are all very shaky platforms. Today they will exist, tomorrow it will not exist. So if you can identify yourself only on the basis of the Bhakti Lata Beej, then you will be satisfied. In one of our previous classes also I had mentioned that the most happy devotee is one who looks at himself from 4 a.m. to 9 a.m. If you start comparing yourself after 9 a.m., you will be the most miserable person. Because you may be doing so many things, but the nature of the mind is, and the nature of the seva is that you cannot be Superman. Right? So if you start evaluating yourself on the basis of, you know, your actual contribution, then you will become very miserable. Because there is always somebody higher than you. Otherwise, you are not in parampara. Right? If you see, there is always somebody higher than you. Above you, they are your seniors. Above your seniors, they are their seniors. Above their seniors, there is a spiritual master. Above them, there is Prabhupada. Right? Whom will you start comparing yourself with? Above Prabhupada is Bhakti Siddhanta. If you keep going up, finally a stage will come where, you know, Rupa Manjari and Lalita Manjari and Radharani. So if you look at the top and start comparing, you will only be depressed. So the very idea of comparing yourself itself is a futile effort. But you cannot compare in terms of you cannot estimate yourself based in terms of your relative performance, but if you actually estimate yourself in terms of how much you are applying in the process of devotional service, there the sky is the limit. So this very subtle difference is important. That what bija, when we are saying that watering is also means how much attention you are giving to them also. Right? Watering, so when you are pouring water, suppose there are four plants here. The plant on which you are most attentive, that's where the water goes. So don't think that, oh, I am not watering my karma and jnana. No. Every time you are estimating yourself, internally meditating on, oh, how much karma I have done, how much jnana I have, immediately you are watering those things. So these are very subtle. So you are at, what is a watering process? Shravan Kirtan. But the Shravan Kirtan is like collecting water and keeping it with you, filling your, you know, that water pot. But the attention you are giving is the actual process of watering. So where you are giving your attention, where your consciousness is being reposed, determines where you have collected that water and put. And this is a big problem for sadhakas. Because you are getting the highest water possible. Krishna Katha, Krishna Kirtan, Krishna Naam. Like super surcharged water. The materialists only have access to, you know, tap water. We have access to Ganga water. So obviously, you know, things will grow very fast. So if your attention is not on the right spot, your karma and jnana desires also will grow very fast. Compared to the non-devotional people like that. So, yeah. So where were we? So after hearing, after receiving the spiritual master's mercy, one must repeat his instruction. This is called Shravana Kirtan, hearing and chanting. And one who has not properly heard from the spiritual master and does not follow the regulative principles is not fit for chanting. So this is the point. So if your buddhi is distributed everywhere, then vyavsayatmika buddhi ठीक है, बहुशाखा ही अनंतस्य बुद्धयो अव्यवसायिना. इफ योर माइंड इज डिस्ट्रैक्टेड. यस प्रभु, क्वेश्चन.
Although because of so much hearing, we don't want to water all these things, but because of our anarthas, we water all these things. So what about this situation?
Yes, so they will grow. As simple as that.
No, means my point is that the person is sincere, but because of his previous anarthas, desires comes like that. Then also it will affect on a same... a degree, or some, there will be some less degree or no degree, whatever.
I don't want to say the false statement and make you feel better. You will get affected to that degree, but because you are conscious, you will know that, okay, what is the thing that I have to undo in my life. Law of nature is very simple. You put water, seed will grow. You cannot defy that. Not that, oh, I am sincerely putting water on the wrong plant, so the plant will not grow. There is nothing like that. The moment water goes, plant will grow. Now, your test of sincerity is that Krishna will give you the understanding and create opportunities for you to realize that and eliminate those weeds. But if you give water to weeds, weeds will grow. There is no, shortcut in that sense. There is no lenience in that sense. So we have to work hard to make sure and protect the Bhakti Lata Beach. Then, Upajiya Bade Lata Brahmanda Bhediyaya Viraja Brahma Loke Bedhi Paravyoma Paya.
As one waters the Bhakti Lata Beach, the seed sprouts and the creeper gradually grows to the point where it penetrates the wall of this universe and goes beyond the Viraja river. Lying between the spiritual world and the material world, it attains Brahma Loka, the Brahman effulgence, and penetrating through this stratum, it reaches the spiritual sky and the spiritual planet Golok Vrindavan.
So this is the purpose I was saying. The Prabhupada writes, a creeper generally takes shelter of a big tree, but the Bhakti Lata being the creeper of spiritual energy, cannot take shelter of any material planet. For there is no tree on any material planet that the bhakti creeper can utilize for shelter. In other words, devotional service cannot be utilized for any material purpose. So, the Bhakti Lata Beej will not grow in the first place if you try taking shelter of anything else. So, devotional service is meant only for the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And then he types, what is it? We Raja. V is beyond Vigata Rupena, that is completely eradicated Rajas. Rajas is influence of the material world. So beyond V Raja, like that. So Bhakti Lata Beach has no shelter in the material world, nor has it shelter in Brahma Loka, although the Brahma Loka is beyond the material world. The Bhakti Lata grows until it reaches spiritual sky where Golok Vrindavan is situated. Then what happens? Tabeyaya ta upari Goloka Vrindavana. Krishna Charana Kalpa Vrikshe Kare Arohana.
Being situated in one's heart and being watered by the Shravan Kirtan, the Bhakti Creeper grows more and more. In this way, it attains the shelter of the desire tree of the lotus feet of Krishna, who is eternally situated in the planet known as Golok Vrindavan, in the topmost region of the spiritual sky.
Thus, the Bhakti Lata Beach, when properly nourished, it can go all the way up and reach a spiritual sky. Right? So, it's a metaphorical explanation. So, what are the creepers growing? Are there some creepers growing on my heart? Right? So, it's not exact. But the idea is that how your consciousness rises above into the spiritual platform. So Prabhupada quotes Ananda Chinmaya Shloka, explain how the only spiritual potency, Krishna is full of the spiritual potencies, and these spiritual potencies are what that shelter and nourish the Bhakti Lata Beach. Then, Taha Vistari Tahaya Phale Prema Phala. ihamalisseche nitya shravanadi jala.
The creeper greatly expands in the Golok Vrindavan planet, and there it produces the fruit of love for Krishna. Although remaining in the material world, the gardener regularly sprinkles the creeper with the water of hearing and chanting.
So, it is not that once your creeper is growing, you don't have to water it, it will grow by itself. The Nitya Shravanadi Jala. Nitya Shravanadi means without fail, regularly one must water the Bhaktilata beach. Even after it reaches Golok Vrindavan, still you are watering it so that you can get more and more fruits. So the watering process never stops. Unlike what the other paths of yoga recommend or they propound, that after you attain some perfection, now no more, you don't have to do any practice. Right? But here, the Nitya Shravana, this is a very important word, Nitya. Ihamali Seche, the Sechan, Sechan is irrigation should happen. Nitya to Shravanadi Jala. Like that. So this is where it is written. It is not that at a certain stage one can stop chanting and hearing and become a mature devotee. If one stops, one certainly falls down from devotional service. Although one will be very much exalted in devotional service, he should not give up the watering process of Shravan Kirtan. If one gives up this process, it is due to an offense. This is described in the following verse. So the Sechan will stop if one ends up committing some aparadha to someone. What is that? Yadi Vaishnava aparadha uteha timata upadeva chindetara sukhiyaya pata.
If the devotee commits an offense at the feet of a Vaishnava while cultivating the creeper of devotional service in the material world, his offense is compared to a mad elephant that uproots the creeper and breaks it. In this way, the leaves of the creeper are dried up.
So, this is one of Prabhupada's favorite lines, Tandera Charanase Bhakti. So, there's a very beautiful recording of this, and if how many of you heard it, where Prabhupada actually breaks down while singing this particular line. So there are two recordings of this Harihara, this thing. So there's a second one where Prabhupada is very grave. Right from the beginning he is very grave. And then when this point comes, Tandera Charana, he just increases the mridanga beats, his voice cracks up and he doesn't sing further. He just continues like that. So whom was I quoting this with? I think in our NOI class we were discussing this, right? His Holiness Bhakti Bring Govind Swami Maharaj, he has a very nice episode to narrate just specifically regarding this line. So during Prabhupada's final days in Vrindavan, he was Yudhishthir Prabhu that time, and he was as a brahmachari, he was just made as a guard outside Prabhupada's room, and Prabhupada told, don't tell anyone. So then as Prabhupada was taking rest, our Akinchan Krishnadas Babaji Maharaj had come. And when Akinchan Krishnadas Babaji came, he is like a little avadhut. He immediately rushes into Prabhupada's room. So Maharaj stops him. And then he says, you can't go. He says, no, I have to go. He could speak English, Akinchan Krishnadas Babaji. So somehow the way he was insisting, he went inside, asked Prabhupada, Prabhupada, you said nobody should come, but this one person, he says he's your god brother. His name is Akinchan Krishna. He said he has come. Said, oh, Akinchan Babaji has come. Send him inside. And Prabhupada was, till that time, he was lying on his bed. He actually gets up, sits upright, though he was extremely weak. And even though they put a chair next to Prabhupada for Akinchan Babaji Maharaj to sit, he moves aside and makes Babaji Maharaj sit on his bed only, both together. And Maharaj thought, oh my God, so intimate these two people. Who is this person? And they were laughing, and so in Bengali they were talking. Unfortunately, they could not understand. So they were laughing so much, and he thought, oh, because Prabhupada was usually very grave around his disciples. He could not do, so he saw a totally different rasa in Prabhupada. He said, must be some intimate friend of his. And they both were very intimate. Then suddenly, in the middle of all that laughter, he becomes very grave, Prabhupada. And he says, Tandira charana sehi bhakta sanivas. Janame janame hoi ehi abhilash. So the gravity with which Prabhupada said and this verse, out of all that humor suddenly and he stopped, that one thing that caught his attention, because he knew this bhajan, right? So that caught his attention and immediately said, something is special about this verse. So Maharaj narrates this whole episode in that bhajan actually when he was singing. So the idea is that one should always, what is it, Hathimata episode, the Vaishnaparad is two levels. One, he says, one who is actually serious about advancing devotional service should desire only to satisfy the previous acharyas. So our goal, we should not have any of our own independent goals, but the idea is to become that an object, an instrument in satisfying the previous acharyas. Eshai gosaiyai muhitaradas tasavara padarenu mora panchagras. However, if one thinks that he has become very mature and can live separate from the association of Vaishnavas and thus gives up all the regulative principles due to offending a Vaishnav, one's position becomes very dangerous. Offenses against the holy name are explained in Adilila chapter 8 verse 24. Giving up the regulative principles and living according to one's whims is compared to a mad elephant. Like that. So this is a sign. So the offenses are not due to breaking of regulative principles, but so cause and effect is other way around. The cause is an offense and the effect is one is not able to follow the regulative principles. Jiva Goswami also mentions this, right? That over a period of time all your offenses they pile up to the point where you are not able to follow the principles of devotional service effectively. And then what happens with mad elephant? It uproots a bhakti lata and breaks it into pieces. In this way, the bhakti lata shrivels up. Such an offense is especially created when one disobeys the order of the spiritual master. This is called guru avagya. So the devotee must therefore be very careful not to commit offenses against the spiritual master by disobeying his instructions. As soon as one is deviated from the instruction of the spiritual master, the uprooting of the bhakti lata beach begins and gradually the leaves dry up. So if you are experiencing this, you know, sometimes devotees go through their own phases in devotional service. They experience this dryness in devotional service. You know, it's like they hit a saturation point, right? So these are the times where you should actually reflect back and analyze. Whom did I offend? Right? So if you potentially see, devotional service is the most powerful process in the entire creation among all the systems of yoga. So therefore, we are so excited about rendering devotional service or advancing in devotional service. And the only thing that can potentially cover the devotional progress is offenses. So how much more careful we have to be when it comes to dealing with offenses like that. Then, ताते माले यत्न करे करे आवरण अपराध हस्तिर याचे नहये उद्गम.
The gardener must defend the creeper by fencing it all around so that the powerful elephant of the offense may not enter.
So another offense which we commit, first one is Vaishnava aparadh, which means, see, everything happens through association only. Association is the key. If you remember, I said the offenses of two types. First is Vaishnava Ninda. Second is doing lot of Asat Sangha. Right? While the Bhakti creeper is growing, devotee must protect it by fencing all around. The neophyte devotee must be protected by surrounding it by pure devotees. Our fence is the army of Vaishnavas around us. In this way, he will not give the maddened elephant a chance to uproot his Bhakti creeper. So you cannot sometimes avoid creating the elephant. But at least you can protect the creeper by having an army of Vaishnavas around you. Right? So Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Maharaj, he says, what is Yuga Dharma? What is Yuga Dharma? Vaishnava Seva is Yuga Dharma. Yeah. Not Harinam. Because sometimes you may leave Harinam also. But if you leave Vaishnava Seva, there is no chance for you to pick up Harinam again. So that is like the greatest barrier, the protection that we have is Vaishnava Seva, the army of Vaishnavas around us. When one associates with non-devotees, the maddened elephant is set loose. So who are the non-devotees? Okay, mind is a non-devotee and? Huh? Materialistic people. Where are the materialistic people here? See, all these devotees are very fortunate. They don't have any materialistic people around them. Huh? Mobile, yes. So all, the entire world of materialistic people, you can have access to them. Right? Then what else? Sorry? Yeah, mobile means internet. Yeah, so that is the thing. So we have to be, devotees have to be extremely careful. And especially, over the generations we have seen, with every new batch of Vidyapeeth we are seeing the progression. They are becoming more and more advanced in terms of the GB of data which is being consumed. Right? I know it all begins with the need for seva. In fact, every batch, especially with your batch, after seeing the previous batches, especially with your batch, I told Gaurang Darshan Prabhu, that Prabhu, with this time, we'll be careful right from beginning. We will not give anybody access. So in 2 months, slowly I've seen, Prabhu would send me requests, Prabhu, seva ke liye isko chahiye, isko chahiye, isko chahiye. Half of the batch has internet access. Remember, when you came newly, I don't think you all had internet access. But now it's like water. It's flowing like water. Data is being consumed like water. Right? So, and always that one, your yoga studio device, it has maximum data usage. After that is ashram. So we are also not far behind. But Vidyapeeth is like top. If that is like 140 GB per month, this is, our ashram is like around 90 to 100 GB per month. So can you imagine 140 GB by 40 people? Or not in 40, how many of you are there? Yeah. Of whose, I don't know. Seva to ho raha hai, but kiska ho raha hai, pata nahi. Right? So 20 people consuming 140 GB. So 7 GB per month. Which means, how many weeks, how many... months are there, so roughly around 2 GB per week. So can you imagine the volume of data being consumed for what? That is even more scary now. At least earlier it used to be through my firewall. Now we don't even know what's happening. So the point is that don't let the mad elephant loose. That is all we can say and we can pray. That's the only thing we can do. Because we don't, here the culture is not that we go behind devotees with stick in our hand. Devotees are expected to be mature in terms of how they are dealing with these things, these subject matters. So the onus is on you. We can provide training, we can provide warnings, and we can, once in a while like this, we can provide a reminder. But beyond that, there is nothing much we can do. So every individual has to. And we have also seen that over the years, like I can tell, I'm also on your side only. So please don't think I'm on this side of the, I think probably more than any of you. But I can clearly say in terms of statistics from our ashram, devotees who are least users of internet have the best study practices. I think Bhagavat Prabhu, we were having a conversation like this once. You were asking some question and I was sharing this point. This is a clear trend I have seen in the ashram. So statistics are, statistics don't lie, as a Kustak statement is. So you can clearly see, devotees who have little or no access to internet are the ones who have the best study practices. Regulated personal study. So keep it as a touch and go, and if you are extremely unfortunate and you end up getting services where you have to be online all the time, please improve the quality of your chanting. Yes, Bhagavat Prabhu, question.
Sir,
The devotees are so excited to hear your voice.
No, actually what you said is, people who doesn't use the technology most are the most.
Ah, technology most, yeah.
Not
yeah.
internet only.
Yeah.
But
yeah. Yeah, in general, technology and, yeah. Yes, that is also there. It's not that, sometimes we take, many times we think that technology will substitute our taste for hearing and chanting. Technology never changes our taste for hearing and chanting. It can supplement, but it cannot give you taste in hearing and chanting. Because many times the mind gets obsessed. If only I had that particular device, if only I had that particular MP3 player, if only I had that particular phone, or that Kindle, or whatever. You know, the quality of my devotional service, my study will improve. So these are all tricks of the mind. You have to look beyond it. So technology can never give you taste. Serving will give you taste. So Gaurangpu would always emphasize this, that one's study of Bhagavatam is the privilege. The taste to study Bhagavatam is a privilege that you earn after a days of hard work. So as people in the renounced order, you know, you should count your salary in terms of how much taste that you are having in hearing and chanting. This is something that you are awarded. You are not born with taste for hearing and chanting. If you are thinking like that, please wake up. The taste for hearing and chanting comes as a reward for our selfless service. So that is what you should be counting. You know, like a materialistic person, every time he is opening his tijori and seeing, I have so much of gold, and he is satisfied, happy. So like that, spiritualists are also opening the tijori of their heart and seeing, I have so much of taste. Let me develop the taste more and more and more. That is the laulyam which Rupa Goswami talks about. So asat sangha chadi e Vaishnava achar. So this is the first principle of Vaishnava, is to give up this asat sangha in the form of worldly association, in physically or virtually, like that. By contacting non-devotees and engaging in non-devotional activities, so-called mature devotees will fall victim to the mad elephant offense. Whatever growth has taken place is quickly uprooted by such an offense. One should therefore be very careful to defend the creeper by fencing it, and that is by following the regulative principles and associating with pure devotees. And see how expertly Maya works. Once you start fall victim to this asat sangha, what happens to you is your association with these two saviors will come down. You start breaking the regulative principles and you start disconnecting yourselves from pure devotees. So the only thing which can protect you, you lose taste for those two activities. Right, so don't think that I'll always be protected. I am in a company of Vaishnavas. No, moment the reactions start coming, or once Maya's influence starts working, you will automatically lose taste in taking the medicine. The medicine is there with you in your pocket, but you don't feel like taking the medicine. Can you imagine? That is the power of Maya. You know, like who mentioned this story? His Holiness Gaur Narayan Maharaj, Bhakti Gaur, no, our Radhagan Maharaj, the Sanyas disciple who passed him. His Holiness Gaur Krishna Swami Maharaj, he mentioned a nice story that how when Parikshit Maharaj, in his mind he was thinking, Kali episode mein, in his mind he was thinking that, let Kali come, because in Kali Yuga, just by chanting holy names, people will be delivered. So I will trick Kali, I will first threaten him, I will warn him, finally I will allow him. Let Kali Yuga come, it is good time for people to make rapid spiritual advancement. And then Kali was also thinking, ha ha ha, you foolish Parikshit. Right? You are thinking by chanting holy names you can counteract me and you will easily be able to overcome, you will make rapid advancement. But, main unko karne du na, I should allow them to first hear and chant. Even though you have the most powerful thing in your pocket, I will not give them taste to put the hand in the pocket and eat it. They will die malnourished, but they will not put the hand and eat it from their own pocket. That is how strong Kali can be, Maya can be. So when the offenses start coming, so therefore, this is another very senior Vaishnav was once sharing this with me, that in our movement, especially in ISKCON, somehow culturally we have a fusion of lot of modern ideologies. We are slightly off traditional. So because of this very strong modern ideologies coming in, we are extremely careless about offenses, especially towards Vaishnavas from other sampradaya, or especially Vaishnava Aparad, we are extremely careless. He was saying, if you look at any traditional Vaishnav, they are, the only thing that is bothering their mind is, arey, I should respect people. You can just see, you talk to any other sampradaya Vaishnavas or other, our bigger Gaudi Vaishnav family, may you meet any of them, they are so cautious about Vaishnava Aparad. So extremely cautious in terms, and that reflects in their dealings with each other, the way they talk and so on, right? They are also humorous, they are also jovial, but they are very strict about that borderline between friendliness and offensiveness. They always are safer on the friendliness side. They don't want to cross that line. But he says, but somehow because of lot of our, because we all come from that college culture, or sometimes Western culture, and you know, where people are very jovial too. Intimacy means to be very jovial and condescending with each other. So because we come from that cultural background, we are extremely careless about Vaishnava Aparad. So this, he was giving an example where one devotee once, So what happened is, one, right in front of him this incident happened, where this one ISKCON devotee, he was traveling in Vrindavan somewhere, and one, he hired a rickshaw wala, and that rickshaw wala, some argument happened, that some 10 rupees ka 20 rupees kuch to, the rickshaw wala was definitely charging high, kuch to 10 rupees ka kuch to usne 50 rupees kuch to bol diya. They had an argument. In the process of this argument, this devotee slapped that Vrajavasi rickshawala. So much so that his Angavastra fell down. They have this little cloth that they put. It fell down on the floor. That Vrajavasi didn't react back. He just bent down, picked up his vastra, that chadar, put it on his head, sat down on his bicycle and went away. So this is because, you know, we cannot imagine that we ever like slapping someone or something, but I'm just saying that how sometimes we are so careless with us. We may not physically slap, sometimes we may verbally slap devotees. So how careful we have to be, especially with, of course, there's no classification inside, outside, whoever it may be, but more so with respect to outsiders. At least present a good image about who are ISKCON devotees, about the brahmacharis and so on, like that. So, that is the mad offense. Okay, this is a very powerful statement. See, Prabhupada, then the question may come in your mind that what about, sometimes the biggest problem comes with devotees only. You are saying, for Bhaktilata Beach to grow nicely, you should be careful against devotees. But then sometimes we see, devotees only give a lot of anxiety to us in life. But then Prabhupada, very powerful statement. Even if one thinks that there are many pseudo devotees or non devotees in the Krishna conscious society, within our movement only, if you think there are non devotees and pseudo devotees, still one should stick to the society. If one thinks the society's members are not pure devotees, one can keep direct company with the spiritual master. And if there is any doubt, one should consult the spiritual master. However, unless one follows the spiritual master in instructions concerning the regulative principles and chanting and hearing the holy name of the Lord, one cannot become a pure devotee. By one's mental concoctions, one will fall down. So even if you feel you are very advanced, if any of you are feeling like, but Prabhu, my peers are like such, you know, they're all so neophyte, I cannot handle them. then if you are feeling like that, then please at least keep direct company with the spiritual master if there is any doubt. Consult the spiritual master. But don't leave the society. That's the thing. But then, to qualify yourself to follow instead of spiritual master, follow the regulative principles and regularly hear and chant. Like that. So then, he gives about the Atyahara Prayasa verse in the Purport, that this is what destroys bhakti. Like that. Oh, I think the ants are falling from the sky, it seems. I was wondering, so many ants I'm brushing, where are they coming from? It's okay, no problem. It adds some entertainment for while I'm speaking. Kintu yadi lata rasange uthe upashakha bhukti mukti bhukti mukti vancha yata asankhya tara lekha.
Sometimes unwanted creepers such as the creepers of desire for material enjoyment and liberation from the material world grow along with the creeper of devotion service. The variety of such unwanted creepers are unlimited.
Nishiddachara kutiniti jiva himsana labha puja pratishtadi yata upashakha gana.
Some unnecessary creepers growing with bhakti creepers are the creepers of behavior unacceptable for those trying to attain perfection, diplomatic behavior, animal killing, mundane profiteering, mundane adoration and mundane importance. All these are unwanted creepers.
See, very, very precise upashakas which are growing. Upashakas are the side branches which will grow. Right? What are the growing? Nishiddha achar, behavior not to be exhibited by a person desiring to become perfect. So it could be habits, it could be old habits coming back, or sometimes we, in the process of devotional service also, we may end up developing some habits. Then, kutiniti. Kutiniti means diplomacy. Okay? So we'll read this purport actually. It's a very graphical one. There is a certain pattern of behavior prescribed for those actually trying to become perfect. In our Krishna consciousness movement, we advise our students not to eat meat, not to gamble, not to engage in illicit sex, and not to indulge in intoxication. These are all nishiddha acharas. People who indulge in these activities can never become perfect. Therefore, these regulative principles are those interested in becoming perfect and going back to Godhead. Kutiniti or diplomatic behavior cannot satisfy the Atma, the soul. It cannot even satisfy the body or the mind. The culprit mind is always suspicious. Therefore, our dealings always have to be straightforward and approved by Vedic authorities. If we treat people diplomatically or duplicitously, our spiritual advancement is obstructed. So, and this, somehow I have seen this diplomatic behavior is very commonly prevalent, especially among Indians. Because somehow we are not, maybe it's a cultural upbringing, I'm still yet to like exactly decode the reason, but in my interaction I have seen that Westerners are very straightforward. That's another extreme, of course. Muh pe seedha bol dete hain. That is another thing. But at least they appreciate that. Like his only Jayadvaita Swami Maharaj was once narrating that Indian servants, oh my God. If some, you know, because we are trained not to say no to anything. Like if you say, can you get me cold water, for example. Even though you know you have no access to cold water, you will not say that, sorry Maharaj, we don't have cold water in GEV. We don't have a refrigerator in GEV. That's it. It's okay. No problem. But then we cannot say no. Then you'll say, okay Maharaj, I will go and see and come. You know there's nothing to see. What will you go and see? Right? But still you will go around half an hour and then for half an hour you don't give any updates. And here is Maharaj waiting for one glass of cold water. Right? And then finally after half an hour you come back and say, sorry Maharaj, there are no refrigerators in GEV. So Maharaj, so you knew that earlier also, right? That there are no refrigerators. Then why did you not tell before? So this is just one very simple level of diplomacy. But sometimes what happens is, we like to presume a lot of things. These are all again very subtle cultural nuances. Because we are too shy to ask people up front what they are feeling or what they are thinking or what they are wanting. right? Thinking, feeling and willing. Because we are very bad at asking the other person in terms of what they are thinking, feeling and willing, what their mind is thinking. We end up presuming things and acting on the basis of that presumptions. And that creates further damage and rift in relationships. So better avoid that kind of behavior. And in order to protect our image in front of the other person, we presume some things and we start going to mind games and, you know, we fall victim to the mind games. So better be very clear in your communication, first thing. And two, because the way we are brought up, this is also another very strong cultural nuance, the way we are brought up, especially Hindus, pious Hindus, those who are, and practically all of us here, what happens is, there is a lot of emphasis on the power of papa in our cultural upbringing, right? In fact, we are more papa conscious than punya conscious. Paap nahi karne ka, right? So, uske upar hamara dhyan zyada rehte rather than doing something positive. So, because paap has been so grossly amplified in our mind that we find it difficult to admit our shortcomings. What will others think about me? What if, you know, people start thinking of me as, you know, like a, because usually everybody is nice to us. So we like to maintain the status quo of our image. But the moment you admit your shortcoming, you will think that actually somebody will fall in or people start thinking of you as less. But just think of it in a reverse way. If some devotee comes and genuinely confesses their shortcoming, will you start looking at them as anybody less? You'll probably empathize, you'll think, oh, I didn't know that this guy is going through some struggles. But then, you know, life goes on normally because each and every one of us have so many problems to deal with of our own, right? So we are hardly thinking about others' problems, you know, but we amplify about ourselves so much. This is the false ego. So this false ego of trying to maintain a certain status quo of our image among the fraternity of Vaishnavas prevents us from accepting and declaring our shortcomings. And that leads to diplomacy in behavior. This is the Kuta Niti we are talking about. We falsely like to project ourselves to be somebody more advanced than who we are. Right? So, of course, we are not talking about like every single shortcoming, but sometimes there are major shortcomings which we don't want to admit. And over a period of time, they create greater damage to our bhakti rather than, you know. So the point is that don't be diplomatic in your own dealings with others. That is about how you are presenting yourself to others and how you are perceiving others about you. Be clear in your communication both ways. Be straightforward and to do that, actually, it requires a lot of saralata, simplicity and humility. So those who are simple and humble, they don't have these problems. They are simple, straightforward. You know, if they slept in japa today, they'll just come, sorry, Prabhu, I was sleeping in japa today. But, you know, somebody else, hey, I was not sleeping. I was only like, you know, I was meditating on the form of the Lord. Right? We are not ready to admit. So it's good if you are simple. But if you are not, then you have to really work hard on this quality. Then comes Jiva Himsa. Jiva Himsana refers to the killing of animals or to envy of other living entities. The killing of poor animals is undoubtedly due to envy of those animals. The human form is meant. Okay, I think it's time I should move. Now the color of the ants also has changed. We'll may change during break. Hold on. We'll change during the break. Yeah. Yeah, Jiva Himsana refers to the killing of animals or to envy other living entities. The killing of poor animals undoubtedly due to envy. So anyway, so that is, of course, Jiva Himsa, we are not killing animals through our knives and butcher knives, but sometimes we are like, we have butcher words. So we are extremely insensitive towards how people are, because everybody is going through their own struggles. So we end up being extremely ruthless and judgmental towards people, and you know, and Jiva Himsa also comes, and Jiva Himsa combined with Kutaniti leads to gossip. Jiva Himsa, insensitivity along with Kutaniti, diplomacy, leads to gossip. Behind back, we start gossiping about people. You know, we start passing your own expert comments. Everybody likes to be a cricket commentator, right? We watch so much of commentary through our childhood. We all like to be the expert commentator. So we start gossiping about people, people's lives, and what they should do, what they should not do, as if you know them better than themselves, right? So, of course, there's nothing wrong in critical thinking, but if your critical thinking is not presented in the right place, in the right forum, in the right way, you are only going to agitate the other person more and forever lose your friendship with the other person more. And this happens a lot, especially in close-knit communities. One of the biggest challenges in communities is gossip. And because there's so much of rasa in it, right? So how can you avoid it? So like that. And so on. So then, so all these obstructions which have been described in this verse are unwanted creepers. They simply present obstacles for some real creeper bhakti lata. One should be very careful to avoid all these unwanted creepers. Sometimes these unwanted creepers look exactly like the bhakti creeper. They appear to be the same size, same species, but when they are packed together with the bhakti creeper, but in spite of this, these creepers are called upashakha. A pure devotee can distinguish between bhakti creeper and the mundane creeper and is very alert to distinguish them and keep them separate. Then, Seka Jala Paya Upashakha Badiyaya Stabdahaya Mula Shakha Baditena Paya.
If one does not distinguish between the bhakti creeper and the other creepers, the sprinkling of water is misused because the other creepers are nourished while the bhakti creeper is curtailed.
See, if one chants a Hare Krishna mantra while committing offense, those unwanted creepers will grow. One should not take advantage of chanting Hare Krishna mantra for some material profit. Right? So, this is a very important point. As we were discussing earlier, that because we have access to the Maha Mantra, Krishna Katha and Krishna Kirtan, we are putting literally, you know, powerful, we are not putting even water, we are putting nectar directly in our heart. But if you end up giving water to all these upashakas, upabijas, then you will start getting a different tree. It is no more called bhakti tree. It is called some bhakti creeper, it's something else. So how do you know what you are watering? Is there some tool? Is there some way of we can find out? So introspection and self-assessment is that powerful tool which will help us identify what we are watering. So do a very simple exercise in your own life. Just sit down one day peacefully and see what is it that you like doing the most and why. Just ask a simple question. What is it that you like doing the most and why you are doing it? So you will say, okay, I like, I like designing maps for Subodhini. Or I like making Subodhini notes. Okay, good. Now the question comes, why? This is the most difficult thing. Fortunate you are if you know what. Because I remember Chaitanya Charitamrita once was jokingly saying that, you know, we are out protecting so many conditioned souls in the society, so many confused souls in the world outside, but there are so many confused souls wandering within our movement also. Somehow bhakti mein leke aate logon ko, lekin usko kya karna hai? How do I contribute to the mission? They don't know. They are confusedly, they are wandering. Right? Sometimes even within the ashram setup also, you will see devotees are like just wandering. They don't know what to do. This thing. So first thing is, you are fortunate if you know what you want to do. Now the next comes is why. This requires sincere honesty to, you know, in your heart. Am I doing it for, you know, is it that because I get this tali at the end of the day, then you are a karmanishta. You are watering the karma bija. You are not watering bhakti bija. Am I doing it because I want to become a scholar? Right? Then You are watering your jnana bija. You are not watering bhakti bija. So what is your intention behind every action is an estimation of your devotion. So you have to be extreme. This is where introspection is. What introspection means this. Be ruthlessly critical about yourself. Like how we are towards others. Like that, be on yourself. Sit down and really analyze. What is my motivation? And you know what it does? Once you start realigning your motivations and at least start going in the pure direction, you'll start feeling extremely relieved. Because most of the anxieties that we encounter are because our motivations are either karmanishta or jnananishta. You are trying to be that enjoyer. The moment you start relocating your intentions means you are relocating the center of your focus from yourself to Guru or Krishna or sometimes some other Vaishnava. Once you start realigning that, you will automatically feel so relieved. Because you know you are not the one who are trying to enjoy. But that happens when the realignment process happens, and that requires honest introspection. So analyze what are your motivations. Is it yoga siddhi? Prabhupada Parpati writes, the unwanted creepers have been described by Bhaktisiddhanta Sajjitakur. He states that if one hears and chants without trying to give up offenses, one may become materially attached to sense gratification. So your anarthas will sprout up if you hear and chant without giving up offenses. So instead of doing anartha nivritti, you will be doing anartha pravritti. Your hearing and chanting will increase your anarthas. One may also desire freedom from material bondage like the Mayavadis. I don't want to be here. Mumukshu, you will end up becoming a mumukshu. Liberation. I don't want this service. I don't want Vidyapit. I don't want this course. I don't want my weekend service. I want a break. Right? Why are you thinking these lines? Because through all your activities, you are thinking you will be the one who is enjoying, but you are seeing that you are not getting enjoyment. So therefore, you are frustrated. And when you are frustrated, you demand liberation. But once you realign your intentions, you are automatically avoiding frustration. Therefore, you are automatically avoiding the desire for liberation. So nobody begins with the desire for liberation. Desire for liberation is the ultimate conclusion. It begins with sense gratification, which when frustrated leads to the desire for liberation. Right? So if we check ourselves, we will be able to overcome this desire for liberation. Then, or one may become attached to yoga siddhis and desire wonderful yogic powers or facilities. Right? One is attached to wonderful material activities, one is called siddhi lobi, greedy for material perfection. Then one may be victimized by diplomatic or crooked behavior, or one may associate with women for illicit sex. One may make a show of devotional service like the Prakrita Sahajiyas, or one may try to support his philosophy by joining some caste or individual or identifying himself with a certain dynasty, claiming a monopoly of spiritual advancement. Thus, so you can see all the Apasampradayas are listed here. The caste Goswamis, Prakrita Sahajiyas, dynasty spirituality, Siddhis, Muktas. Thus, with the support of family tradition, one may become pseudo guru or so-called spiritual master, and so on. Then one may think, this is a Hindu Vaishnav and this is a European Vaishnav. European Vaishnavs are not allowed to enter the temples. In other words, you'll start looking at them from bodily point of life. So, yeah. Continue.
One question related to that about what you said. One has to be very fortunate that what do you like to do,
mm-hmm.
and then why you want to do.
Mm-hmm.
So, like often it is said in the initial days, even though one does not know what he like to do, but simply following the instructions what has been said,
right?
Then over a period of time, like 5 years or 6 years, 10 years, there's things he will find it out, like what need to be done. So like how it is, like f- from the very beginning one has to find it out, or like how it is?
See what is inspiring you. See, like I said, one of the things that we try to do is the whole concept of standardization is non-Vedic. One rule fits all is an extremely non-Vedic concept. It's, you know, like, whom was I discussing? Yesterday I was discussing this with Ayurveda or something like that, you know. So, like, modern medicine is what? One pill will suit everyone. Or sometimes you'll say, like, there's a concept of raw food. Have you heard of this? In the West, it's a big craze. Now, Ayurveda says you should not eat raw food. Right? So, what is this concept? And it worked on people in the West. It worked. Raw food worked on them. And India, if you eat raw food, you will have digestive problems. You'll have indigestion. So, what is the tattva? So, in an extremely hot tropical climate like India, the digestive fire is weak. Therefore, we add spices, seasoning. Why do we add ajwain and jeera and all these things in our food? Because these spices boost the digestion. So, this particular kind of cuisine, this particular kind of at least boil and putting something, or in other case frying and all these things that we do, the elaborate cooking that we do in Indian cuisines is something suitable for our climate. In a Western country where it is extremely cold, the Jataragni is strong. Like winter also we feel hungry, na? So winter you can eat anything and digest. So Western countries are like that. So where there is extremely cold, because of strong Jataragni, they can handle the raw food. So it works for them there. So the blanket rule that raw food is good for everyone is itself a wrong way of looking at things. Likewise, you know, like I was discussing with someone that we talk about Chaturmas. Right? So, this is an open question for all of you. Chaturmas, on what basis is Chaturmas decided? Rainy season, 4 months. First of all, seasons have gone offset. What about those places where it doesn't rain? In India, there are many places where there has been drought. So, do they have to follow Chaturmas? Even difficult question. In a different part of the world, right now, summer is going on. In Australia, winter is going on. In July, winter starts. In North America, summer starts in July. So, do they have to follow Chaturmas? In a place like London or in Seattle, where it is always raining, they have eternal Chaturmas. They have Dasamas. So, will they have to do fast all the 10 months of the year? So, what is the basis of Chaturmas? So these are, of course, you see Prabhupada gave, therefore all the Chaturmas, Vrata, Vrata, all these things Prabhupada is a sideline. He just follow those four things. No spinach in the first month, all the spinach, milk, yogurt and udad dal. He just follow this is sufficient. This also why you are following, some tapasya we are doing as an offering for Krishna, that's all. So all these Vratas that we do, staying in one place and all, you know, when it's not raining, you're sitting in one place. Instead of going out and preaching, you are just sitting in one place. Why? Chaturmas, Prabhu. You know. So, these are all subtle things. So, you cannot make a blanket rule on anything. Likewise, when it comes to these principles. Yeah, the general rule is that, yes, for devotees, initial years, you know, good to do everything. And because you don't know who you are, your psychophysical nature, it takes time for you to understand who you are. So better do everything. So that concept is raised. But we cannot be that. This is where Niyam Agraha and Niyam Agraha comes. But you cannot be so attached to that rule. Even after a person has identified, he still is stuck with, you know, or he doesn't want to do or something like that. So these are, so the idea is, so therefore it is not that after 10 years I will start exploring what I have to do. No. From day one start exploring. What if you find it soon? Right? But at the same time, don't be very mentally rigid that I will do only this. Ultimately, these are all still under the level, on the plane of the body and emotions. Surrender is at the level of the soul. So we are actually talking about a higher principle and a lower principle here. So both of these things we need to balance. Okay. text number 161. Prathame upashakhara karaya chedana tabe mula shakha badi yaya vrindavana.
As soon as an intelligent devotee is seen as an unwanted creeper growing beside the original creeper, he must cut it down instantly. Then the real creeper, the Bhakti Lata, grows nicely, returns home back to Godhead and seeks shelter under the lotus feet of Krishna.
So simple gardening science. As soon as you see a creeper, immediately remove it. Otherwise it will remove all the nourishment from the crop, from the land. Right? So then, prema phala paki mapade mali aswadaya lata avalambi mali kalpa vrikshapaya.
When the fruit of devotional service become ripe and falls down, the gardener tastes the fruit and thus takes advantage of the creeper and reaches the desired tree of the lotus feet of Krishna in Golok Vrindavan.
There the devotee serves the lotus feet of the Lord, which are compared to a wish-fulfilling tree. With great bliss, he tastes the juice of the fruits of love and becomes eternally happy. The fruit juice pita hai udhar jaake ho. Right? So what will you all do when you go to Golok? You will all drink fruit juice. But the fruit, to grow that fruit is very difficult. Right? To taste the fruit of devotional service in Golok Vrindavan is the highest perfection of life. And the presence of such perfection, the four material perfection, dharma, artha, kama, moksha, are very insignificant achievements. Then there are some verses giving references of that. As long as there is not the slightest fragrance of pure love of Krishna, which is the perfect medicinal herb for controlling Lord Krishna within the heart, the opulences of the material perfection known as the siddhis, the brahmanical perfections, satya, samadhi, tiksha and so on, and the trance of the yogis and the monoistic bliss of Brahman all seem wonderful for men. So until the first fragrance of Shuddha Bhakti does not come, so actually all you need is to small gandha, small taste of that. See, actually word, it's also a nice, they are even not even talking about literal taste. They are talking about even smell. Smell and taste are very closely related. Right? So, smells are also classified. Can you name some smells? Sweet smell. Spicy smell. Bitter smell. So, smells are also have the same names as tastes. Did you ever notice this? So, because the nose and the tongue are like very closely connected. So, the most mildest form of tasting something is through smelling. That's why, you know, you while cooking, you are told to not smell the bhoga and things like that. But what to do? Every day, exactly during japa time, they put chonk in the breakfast. So, suddenly at 6 o'clock, you are wondering, I wonder what there. Now it's gone. Now they relocated the kitchen. Right? But, still it comes. SBA mein aata hai, correct. So, you can see. They go, it's, even during the class the other day, when they were preparing lunch that day, in during the class, we were smelling all the spices and everything we were smelling that day. So it is as good as tasting. So, but all you need is a slight fragrance of this pure love. Moment you taste a small, tiny fraction, automatically you will see how the others are insignificant. So that is a threshold that we are working for. All you need is one taste, one time in life. And then you will never look back in life. Now you may say, oh, even to get that small taste is so difficult. But instead, what do we do? How do we then move the vehicle of our bhakti? See those people who have got that small taste. So therefore, many times you will see, it is very easy to remain inspired in company of inspired people. When you are alone, it becomes very challenging. But we are in the company of inspired people. By seeing their taste, you get very strongly inspired. But the point is, you need some inspiration of Shuddha Bhakti to continue in the path of Shuddha Bhakti. You cannot just mentally tell yourself that, ye karna hai, ye karna hai, ye karna hai. Nah, aisa nahi hai. It doesn't work like that. It's not a theoretical thing. And this is what happens, because initially, in the initial years of our Krishna consciousness, the factor of newness will motivate us and will keep us going on. Huh? And of course, the factor of post-dated check. Post-dated check and newness. After 10 years, I'll become pure devotee, no problem. Now I can suffer, no problem. Right? Or after, because everything is so new, you get inspired and you continue doing things. But after some time, the newness factor goes and then you are faced with the reality that even after 10 years, I'm worse than what I started. Right? I'm more inattentive in my japa. I'm more spaced out in the classes. I'm more sleepy during the day. Whatever it may be, you'll find that. So that is the reason why right from the beginning, we are told to start identifying, be a rasa hunter. Start identifying those things which will actually inspire you, which will nourish you. Then you will feel, you'll be able to overcome the rough phase of life like that. So there...
Is it that as we are growing, instead of nourishing, watering our bhakti lata, we are watering our creepers or weeds. That's why as days passes, even after doing practice of Krishna consciousness, as per our capacity sincerely, still we feel we are instead of advancing, becoming more degraded. Like that happens, the enthusiasm we had beginning of Vidyapit days, slowly to write exams, and that goes away. Similarly in Krishna consciousness also.
Because what happens is we realign our motivations. No? So we think, becoming a scholar is what Vidyapit is about. So you have all the 2 years, you only watered the Jnana beach. Or getting appreciation for getting good marks is what Vidyapit is about. So for 2 years, you watered only the Karma beach. Or just getting a break during the weekend is the goal of life. Then you are watered your Mukti beach. Break. Right? So, if you only have watered that for 2 years, only that will grow. And at the end of 2 years, you are wondering, Are, what is happening? So, right from the beginning, this is what I said. Taste here means, rasa here means, Mahaprabhu is going to discuss the entire rasa tattva now. That is the aspiration for pure devotion. So, genuinely wanting to taste which is there in Bhagavatam, genuinely wanting to experience what acharyas might have been thinking when they are writing these purports. What is it that Parikshit went through when he was hearing this? What is it that I can apply in my own life for my personal purification? Right? So if you look at these books as self-help books, then these books they'll reciprocate like self-help book. Like Gauranpu, in one very powerful point he once mentioned that he used to say, Bhagavatam is like a mother. So whatever you ask, she will give you. If you ask for karma, she'll give you karma. If you ask for jnana, she'll give you jnana. But if you ask for bhakti, she'll give you bhakti also. It only thinks what you are approaching Bhagavatam with. So if you are thinking of some other motivations and watering, what will grow. Like that. So right from the beginning, understand the purpose, what we are doing, why we are doing. And try to focus on, So what Shravanam does is basically is it keeps realigning our compass towards true north. Especially from, when you hear from Prabhupada or the spiritual master, these lectures and these talks, they help us realign our compass towards the true north. That is so important. It's like, can you imagine driving a plane only on the basis of a GPS which keeps losing its alignment? Every 5 minutes you have to keep realigning the compass. So that is how cautious we have to be in the journey of bhakti. Every 5 minutes you have to press the reset button, or you know how you realign a mobile compass, right? You're supposed to do this. So every 5 minutes you have to keep doing this. Pura sar ke bal upar niche do shirshasana every 5 minutes. Then once you realign your compass, and again start working. If you forget doing that, if you are just complacent thinking, I am happy, then you will end up going to some different destination. So that realignment is very important in our bhakti. And that happens through powerful sangha and through powerful shravanam, like that. So in this purport, Prabhupada talks about these siddhis, then we'll move ahead. Shuddha bhakti haitayaya prema utpanna atha eva shuddha bhaktira kahiya lakshana.
When one is situated in pure devotional service, he develops love of Godhead. Therefore, let me describe some of the symptoms of pure devotional service.
Right, so now then the course, anyabhilashita shunyam jnana karmadi anavritam anukulena krishnanushulanam bhaktirutamam. So we hear this very early on in our Krishna consciousness. Anyabhilashita shunyam. If we can just live by this one verse, we'll go back to Godhead. But this verse is so common to us that we forget the import of this verse. The first time perhaps when you read this verse, you may feel, oh my God, this is what I have to be. But then you keep seeing, and then it loses its impact. Right? So, who is this? I can't recall, but this one very senior sannyasi is one saying that why he preaches is because he says, when I see all the new bhaktas, the enthusiasm of the new bhaktas, I get inspired from them. Therefore, I like new bhaktas. Huh? Guru Gai Swami Maharaj, yeah, I think he said. This is in a lecture in Chowpatty, I think. He was sharing this point. Because I happened to be there that day for some work, and he was sharing that point that when you are, it's good to be around new bhaktas because for them everything is new, na? Oh, the first time they're reading, oh, anyabhilashita shunyam, jnana karmadi anavritam. This is how you should be. So they kind of like remind themselves. So when you see their enthusiasm, you also get infused by that, like that. So then, we'll move a little fast now. Anya vancha, anya puja, chadi jnana karma. Anukulya sarvendriya Krishna anushilana.
A pure devotee must not cherish any desire other than to serve Krishna. He should not offer worship to the demigods or to mundane personalities. He should not cultivate artificial knowledge, which is devoid of Krishna consciousness. And he should not engage himself in anything other than Krishna conscious activities. One must engage all one's purified senses in the service of the Lord. This is the favorable execution of Krishna conscious activities.
So these activities are called Shuddha Bhakti, pure devotional service. If one renders such pure devotional service, he develops his original love for Krishna in due course of time. In Vedic literatures like the Pancharatras and Srimad Bhagavatam, these symptoms are all described. Then Sarvapadi Vinirmuktam is quoted. Then Madguna Shruti Matrena Mai Sarva Guhashaye Manogatir Avichinna Yatha Gangam Vaso Mudav. So how my mind should go to it. Then, so you see a lot of references which are there. Salokya Samipya. We'll keep moving ahead. Text number 175. Bhukti Mukti Adi Vancha Yadi Manehaya. Sadhana Karile Prema Utpanna Nahaya.
If one is infected with desire for material enjoyment or material liberation, he cannot rise to the platform of pure loving service unto the Lord. Even though he may superficially render devotional service according to the routine regulative principles.
Right. So this answers the question that many of you are asking earlier. So, if one is infected with a desire for material, if karma or jnana or the mukti is the seed that you are having, even though you may be rendering some external activities of devotional service, your sadhana, your hearing, chanting, following the regulative principles, even though you may be doing those, you will not come to the platform of Shuddha Bhakti. Can you imagine how scary it is? After, like, at the end of the lifetime, you will realize, are, looks like, you know, 40 years back, I started on the wrong foot. Huh? So then what will you do? So better, an intelligent person is the one who tries to correct right from the beginning. Then, one more quotation from Bhaktivinoda Swami Sindhu. Then, Sadhana bhakti haite haya rati ra udaya. Rati gadha haile tara prema namakaya.
By regularly rendering devotional service, one gradually becomes attached to Supreme Personality of Godhead. When that attachment is intensified, it becomes love of Godhead.
So now from starting this point, now that the anardhanivritti part is over, now nishta, ruchi, asakti, bhava, prema and different levels of prema. So now all the esoteric concepts of the rasa tattva will be highlighted starting from this verse onwards. Text number... text number 178. Prema vriddhi kare nama snehamana pranya. Pranaya. Raga anuraga bhava mahabhava haya.
The basic aspect of prema, when gradually increasing to different states, are affection, abhorrence, love, attachment, further attachment, ecstasy and great ecstasy.
So these are all the different stages that are leading up to in prema. So what are they? The aspect of prema in which the melting of the heart for the lover is concentrated is called sneha. The symptom of such affection is that the lover cannot for a moment remain without the association of the beloved. A description of mana can be found in Madhya Leela. Similarly, description of pranaya is also there. As far as raga is considered, Bhakti Rasam says, that stage at which affection for the beloved converts unhappiness into happiness is called raga or attachment. When one has such attachment for Krishna, he can give up his own life to satisfy his beloved Krishna. Anuraga, bhava and mahabhava are described in the 6th chapter of Madhya Leela, like that. So now, what are the further gradual stages? How this prema is intensified? It is just like boiling of sugarcane juice and making it into different stages. So that example is given. So the gradual development of prema may be compared to different stages, states of sugar. First, there is a seed of the sugarcane, then the sugar cane, then the sugar extracted from the cane. When the juice is boiled, it forms liquid molasses, then the solid molasses, then sugar, candy, rock candy, and finally lozenges. All these stages combined are called sthayi bhava, or continuous love of God, Godhead, in devotional service. In addition to this, there is vibhava and anubhava. So Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, in the later on sections, very nicely elaborates on all these different stages of devotional mellows. It's like, you know, of course, for right now, none of this may make any direct sense to us, but we are all still trying to figure out how to drink water. But at an advanced stage, once you get milk, and you boil milk, and you condense milk, and when you start condensing that milk, you add kesar, and then you add some cardamom powder on it. Then you add some, you know, some pistas also on it, and if required, some silver foil on it. Yeah, it's considered opulent. No, it's spoiling the taste, right? Yeah, take it. Let's delete the silver foil part. Right? What else can we add? Sugar, of course, is like that's kaju badam. So all these things you can add in. Are you condensed milk ka baat kar raha hu, yaar. Already wo cream ban gaya wo. Cream se bhi thick ho gaya wo. So adding these things will increase the taste of sugar. Condensed milk in itself is sweet. On top of it, you are adding kesar and kaju pista and everything that makes it further. So that varieties are vibhava and anubhava, like that. So that is what is being highlighted here. So we'll read this purport. So attachment for Krishna never wanes. It increases more and more and one attains different stages. All these stages together are called sthayi bhava. So one has already reached ecstasy, and that ecstasy is sustained and continued over a long time through these sthayi bhavas. And how? Through the navada bhakti, you are actually intensifying these sthayi bhavas. So the 9 process of devotional service, when continuous love of Godhead is mixed with the process of devotional service, it is called as vibhava, anubhava, sattvika bhava and vyabhichari bhava. So when these sthayi bhava, in the state of sthayi bhava, when one engages in this 9 process of devotional service, one experiences these different stages of bhava. And the devotee enjoys varieties of transcendental bliss. In Amrita Pravaha Bhashya, So Bhaktivinoda Thakur states that Anubhava can be divided into 13 categories. So all these are symptoms of Anubhava. Like that. Then, Sattvika Vyabhichari Bhavera Milane Krishna Bhakti Rasahaya Amrita Aswadane.
When the highest standard of the ecstatic love is mixed with the symptoms of Sattvika and Vyabhichari, the devotee releases the transcendental bliss of loving Krishna in the variety of nectarian taste.
So already this Anubhava, Sthayi Bhavas are so sweet. To that you add Sattvika Bhava and Vyabhichari Bhava. Then it becomes even more sweeter. Then in that context, the example is given. Eche Dadhi Shita Grita Maricha Karpura Milane Rasala Haya Amrita Madhura.
These tastes are like a combination of yogurt, sugar candy, ghee, clarified butter, black pepper, camphor, and are as palatable as sweet nectar.
So these are all the things that go with these items. And you combine them, it's a different taste in itself. Bhakta bedhe rati bedhe pancha prakara shantarati dasyarati sakhyarati ara vatsalya rati madhure rati ehi pancha vibedha rati bedhe krishna bhakti rasya pancha bedha.
According to devotees, attachment falls within the five categories of Santarati, Dasyarati, Sakhyarati, Vatsalyarati, and Madhurati. These five categories arise from the categories devotees' different attachments to the Supreme Personality Godhead. The transcendental mellows derived from devotional service are also of five varieties.
So, quoting from Bhaktirasamit Sindhu, Prabhupada is going to highlight the detailed characteristics of all these five ratis, five stages. The Shantarati realization of Krishna is a neutral stage between the conception of impersonalism and personalism. This means that one is not very strongly attached to personal feature of the Lord. So at this stage, one is still attached, or one is attached to Paramatma feature or the impersonal feature. So we saw that other day, Atma Rama verse. How these, what are the names? Brahmamai. What are the two broad categories? And Jnanis and three days only Moksha Kangshi Brahmopasakas. Then Brahmopasakas, how many are there? Names Sadhaka Brahmamai Prapti Brahmalai and other. Mumukshu, Jivan Mukta, Prapta, Swarupa, Mai, Lai. Then, Paramatma Vadis are? Six types. Seventh, okay, TK. Yoga Ruda, Yoga Rurukshu, and Prapti Siddhi. So, all these are the Shantarasa Bhaktas. So, that is what is highlighted here. Then apart from this, there is also the Dasyarati, where a devotee in Shantarasa is not very much willing to render service to the Lord, but a devotee in Dasyarasa Rati voluntarily wants to render service. Due to this attitude, he realizes the Lord in his personal form. So whom will you render service? Can you render service to Brahman or to Paramatma? You cannot. So, at that stage, one realizes the personal form of the Lord. So, Dasyarati is characterized by Bhakti Para Isha Anubhavena Viraktir Anyatracha. So, like that. Shantarasi is neither material nor spiritual, but Dasyarati is actually on the spiritual platform. There is no attachment for material things on the spiritual platform. Like that. Then, Sakhya. So, you can read this part. Like Sakhya, Vatsalya, Madhu. So just Prabhupada is highlighting the exact little translation of the BRS verses. The chief transcendental mellows experienced with the Supreme Personality of Godhead are five. You can read as in, you can read yourself. That's what I meant. Yeah. The chief transcendent mellows are also Shanta, Dasya, Sakya, Vatsalya and Madhurya, like that. Then, in the so these five rasas are also then further explained based on the Bhakta Samsindhu. Then, the secondary rasas are also, what are they? The five direct mellows, secondary mellows are laughter, wonder, chivalry, compassion, anger, disaster and fear. Then, in addition to these five direct mellows, there are seven indirect mellows. So, that is... We have the same verse in Sanskrit and in Bengali. So, that also explanation is given based on Bhaktirasamrita Sindhu. So, just the definitions are given here. Yeah. No, he is giving a reference from Bhaktirasamrita Sindhu and he is... So, remember, Chaitanya Charitamrita was compiled for a very simple, average audience and who some of them may not understand that Sanskrit reference as it is. So he translated that in Bengali, but turns out in this case both the words mean the same. Second line is in Bengali, yeah, like that. Then there are the five direct transcendental mellows of devotional service are permanently situated in the heart of a devotee, whereas the seven indirect emotions appear in a certain conditions. So the primary rasa, which is the sthayi, the station, sthayi, station, sthana. A devotee is fixed in that particular rasa. But according to situation, sometimes suddenly Madhumangal is chased by some demon or something, then that is laughter, hasya comes out. So all the secondary emotions come based on situations and they are like circumstantial things. Then, examples of this devotees are given. Examples of Shanta Bhakta Rasas are the Navayogendras and Kumaras. Examples in Dasya Rasa are innumerable. Like that. Then Sakya Bhaktas are Sridhama, Sudama. In Dwarka, the Lord's friends are Bhima and Arjuna. In Vrindavan, the devotees are Mother Yashoda and Nanda Maharaj. In Dwarka, they are Vasudeva and Devaki. They are also other superior persons who are devotees in parental love. The chief devotees in conjugal love are the gopis in Vrindavan, the queens of Dwarka, and the goddess of fortune Vaikuntha. These devotees are innumerable. Then, attachment for Krishna is divided into two categories. One is attachment with awe and reverence, and other is pure attachment without any reverence. Aishwarya Jnana Mishra Kevala Bheda Ara. Aishwarya Jnana Mishra. So, one is knowledge mixed with reverential attitude. Other one is Kevala, that is pure, exclusive devotion. That is a two clat. So, Gokula Kevala Rati Aishwarya Jnana Hina Puri Dvaye Vaikuntha Dev Aishwarya Praveena. Pure attachment without reverence is found in Golok Vrindavan. Attachment in which awe and reverence are prominent is found in the other two cities of Mathura and Dwarka and in Vaikuntha. So, in Vaikuntha, which rasa do you see? And among the five rasas, five sthayi bhavas, sthayi rasas, Madhurya, who's in Madhurya bhav? Right? So if you scroll up, if you go back a couple of verses, there the list also is given that the goddesses of fortune in Vaikuntha are in conjugal love. But in another purport later on, Prabhupada says, actually, in one letter also, actually, Prabhupada writes this. In Vaikuntha, there are only two rasas. Shantaras and Dasiras. Even if there is Sakyaras, that Sakyaras is also imbued with lot of Dasya Bhav, like Narad Muni. That's all. That is all that they have. But they don't indulge more in higher rasas. So, pure attachment without reverence is found in Gokul Vrindavan. Attachment in which awe and reverence are prominent is found in the two cities of Mathura and Dwarka and in Vaikuntha. So, Mathura, Dwarka also there is some sense of Aishwarya, some sense of awe and reverence. Text number 194. Aishwarya Jnana Pradhanye Sankuchita Priti Dekhiya Na Mana Aishwarya Kevala Rara Riti.
When opulence is very prominent, love of Godhead is somewhat crippled. According to Kevala devotion, however, even though the devotee sees the unlimited potency of Krishna, he considers himself equal to him.
So there once, your expression of how much you can serve Krishna is crippled, is restricted. Like that famous example of Krishna's headache. They could not give their dust to Krishna. They could not serve Krishna that day. But the gopis, as soon as they heard, they all started bringing packets and started filling. How many kilos do you want? Right? So that is uncrippled devotional service. On the transcendental platform of neutrality and service, sometimes the opulence of the Lord is a prominent stimulus. But the transcendental mellows of fraternal, paternal, parental and conjugal love are minimized by that opulence. When Krishna offered prayers at the lotus feet of his mother and father, Vasudeva and Devaki, they both felt awe, reverence, and due to knowledge of his opulence, fear due to knowledge of his opulence. And that verse, particular verse, is also quoted like that. Then, Krishnera Vishwarupa Deki Arjunera Hila Bhaya Sakya Bhave Drishtatya Kshamapaya Kariya Vinaya.
When Krishna manifested his universal form, Arjuna became reverent and fearful, and he begged forgiveness for his past impudence towards Krishna as a friend.
So those verses are quoted from Bhagavad Gita. So although Krishna was joking with Queen Rukmini, he was thinking that he was going to give up her company, and she was therefore shocked. And that particular Rukmini episode story is quoted. If the state of Kevala, unalloyed devotion, in that state, a devotee does not consider the unlimited opulence of Krishna, even though he experiences it. He takes seriously only his own relationship with Krishna. So, see, this is a very nice point here. It is not that they are not, Krishna is not demonstrating the unlimited opulence. In Vrindavan, did Krishna ever display opulence? Yes. Every time he killed a demon, every time he lifted Govardhan, can you imagine? He is lifting Govardhan on his left finger for 7 days and seven nights. But then Madhumangal comes and says, actually, yeah, you are lifting because of my Brahminical power. Or, you know, all the residents of Vrindavan, they come with the tiny sticks and then they put the whole thing and we are also helping Krishna. So even though they are seeing Krishna's opulence, they are not ready to accept Krishna's opulence. That is a speciality of the higher taste. So which is beyond Aishwarya Shunya. Like that. Then there is an example, a quotation for that. When Krishna was defeated by Sridhama, he had to carry on his shoulders. Similarly, Bhadrasena carried Rishabha and Pralamba carried Balram, the son of Rohini. Again, that whole episode where how children would play in the forest, that is described here. So there are two more references. We'll move ahead. So now about the Krishna's example of his Madhurya Bhav from the Rasa Panchadhyaya, how, you know, the gopis were told to go back. So Krishna is very cunning. He's described as as a cheat, as a kaitava in this particular verse. He's a cheat because what happened? He invited all the gopis, but then after the gopis came against all odds, he says, why are you all coming here? So that is cheating. So Prabhupada highlights that in the purport. Then text 211. Shantarase Swarupa Buddhe Krishneka Nishthata Samomana Nishthata Buddhe Iti Shri Mukha Gatha.
When one is fully attached to Krishna's lotus feet, one attains the Samatha stage. The word samatha is derived from the word sama. Therefore, santarasa, the position of neutrality, means being fully attached to lotus feet of Krishna. This is the verdict from the mouth of Supreme Personality of Godhead Himself. This state is called self-realization.
When one's intelligence is fully attached to my lotus feet, but one does not render practical service, one has attained the stage called as shantarasa or sama. Without shantarati, attachment to Krishna is very difficult to achieve. The reference is given. then Krishna vina trishna tyaga tara karyamani atha eva shanta krishna bhakta eka jani.
Giving up all desires not connected with Krishna is the business of one who is in Santaras. Only a devotee of Krishna can be situated on that platform. He is thus called a Santarasa Bhakta.
So, actually at this position of Santarasa, one is freed from all material enjoyment. When one is not agitated or disturbed, he can immediately realize his relationship with Krishna. A Santarasa devotee is therefore always fixed in realization. So you can imagine how advanced even Shantarasa is. And many times, many of our acharyas, they don't count Shantarasa as one of the rasas. They say there are only four rasas, ending with Dasiras. So if Shantarasa itself is completely Anyabhilashita Shunyam stage, is actually Shantarasa, beyond that. Beyond Anyabhilashita Shunyam is Shantarasa. That is not even counted. Can you imagine what is the standard set for us then? Swarga moksha krishna bhakta naraka karimane krishna nishta trishna tyaga shanti radu igune.
When a devotee is situated on the platform of Santarasa, he desires neither elevation to heavenly planets nor liberation. These are the results of karma and jnana, and the devotee considers them no better than hell. A person situated on the Santarasa platform manifests the true transcendental qualities of detachment from all material desires and full attachment to Krishna.
In Narayana Para Sarve, that particular verse is quoted. Edu gunavyape sabbhakta jane akashera shabda gune yena bhuta gane.
These two qualities of Sant stage spread through the lives of all devotees. They are like the quality of sound in the sky. Sound vibration is found in all material elements.
So Shanta Bhav is like the primary foundation. So these two rasas are common. Shanta Bhav and Dasya Bhav are common to everyone. At least the personal associates. Because whoever they may be, whether they may be Yashodamaya or Radharani or even the Gopaganas, they all are trying to serve Krishna. So that Dasya Bhav, and they are all liberated. In that sense, they are Shanta Bhav also. So these two stages are always there for everyone. Like that. It is the nature of Shantarasa that not even the smallest intimacy exists. Rather, knowledge of impersonal Brahman and localized Paramatma is prominent. On the platform of Shantarasa, one realizes only his constitutional position, but when one is raised to the platform of Dasyaras, he understands the full opulence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. On the Dasyaras platform, knowledge of the Supreme Personality of God is revealed with awe and veneration. By rendering devotional, rendering service unto the Lord, the devotee in Dasyaras gives constant happiness to the Lord. So now you are progressing. In Shantaras, you don't have any personal conception. That now you have a personal conception and you want to start serving. Then the quality of the Shantaras is also present in Dasyaras, but service is added. So Shantaras plus service is Dasyaras. So Shantaras Bhaktas, they don't want to serve. They just want to freedom from liberation. Freedom from material entanglement, they are liberated, but they have some attachment to Krishna in a sense, but still it is not that they have attachment to serving Krishna, they just want to be around Krishna. So they get Shantarasa. Okay, fine.
Here, Shantarasa, they realize the constitutional position. So now we say constitutional position is to understand ourselves to be servant.
To understand oneself as non-material, that is constitutional position. So that is a very devotional understanding. But actually our constitutional position is we are Satchit Ananda. They understand that, yeah.
Like often comes in the higher rasa, the medium rasas are also included. Like Madhuri has all five.
Yes.
And just now it came that in Shanta plus Dasya.
Dasaras include Shantaras also.
Okay.
Yeah.
And Shant in its alone indicates that one needs liberation and one needs like
no
those features.
Material. Yeah.
Those features of Shantaras.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when we say that Dasaras includes Shantaras, so in that also these components are there, or like a devotee in Dasaras, does he ever desire for this?
No.
Shantaras component?
Shantaras means he has transcended. So it's not that he is, his intentions are not, his constitution includes the Shantaras bhav. So which means, like for example, when he says Satchidananda, Chit includes Sat also. Ananda includes Sat and Chit also. What does it mean? That Sat means a non-material sense of permanence in their existence. So Shantaras Bhakta, he knows he is no more attached to any material activity or material pleasures. Because that material, hankering for material pleasure agitates the mind. He is peaceful. Why? Because he has attained that state of non-materialness. On that platform, they add service to it. That is Dasya Bhav. So it is not that the Dasya Bhav Bhakta ever thinks, oh, let me take a break, Shantaras. No, it doesn't happen. They only go up and up. But the foundation that they are, Dasya Bhakta is a non-materialness, jo hai, that they add on to that. Question?
Just like, I don't know whether I understood or not, but this Shantaras, like an example of Shantaras Bhakta in Golok Vrindavan will be?
Well, Who? Well, that's an interesting example. Where do you get that?
Madhav Gopal.
Okay. Yeah. So, there are many living entities. There are sometimes, like last time we discussed about all the trees, like in TLC also Prabhupada writes all these things. But we are talking about personal devotees also who are there in Shantaras. Like, of course, they are not always in Golok Vrindavan. Like the four Kumaras are there, they are in Shantaras. The Navayogendra's example is given, they are in Shantaras. Especially in Golok Vrindavan, you will not see the idea that people are in Shantaras and they are not serving. Mm-hmm. So by default, everybody in Vrindavan is serving. So by that definition, you will not see Shantarasa personal bhaktas in Golok Vrindavan. Like we discussed, even the trees are serving there. So very difficult to find Shantarasa. In that context only, I said, our acharyas many times, they don't even talk about Shantaras. Only the other four. It starts from Dasya Bhav only. Like that. So, another example is of Shantaras is, they're just happy being around Krishna. Like sometimes say some blades of grass, they're just happy. Today Krishna is going to come and, or maybe Krishna's cows will come and just step on us. We are happy. So there are some bhaktas like that also. But there are some bhaktas who are grasses, who are eager. Oh, when will Krishna's cow come and bite me and chew me? So what happens to that grass afterwards? It dies. It comes back again and it becomes grass. Tomorrow also the cow will come and bite me. That is how they are trying to serve. They are trying to serve Krishna by serving Krishna's devotees, the cows. Like that. But the idea is, you will hardly see any personal devotees who are in Shantarasa in Golok Vrindavan. I haven't seen any examples like that. Yeah. So the qualities of Shantaras are also included in Dasya Bhav, but service is added. Then, the qualities of Shantaras and the service of Dasyaras are both present on the platform of Sakhyaras. So you see, it is not the service attitude of Shantaras and the qualities of Dasyaras. It's the other way around. Qualities of Shantaras and service attitude of Dasyaras is included in Sakhyaras, along with the intimacy, the fraternity. And on the platform of fraternity, the qualities of Dasaras are mixed with the confidence of fraternity instead of awe and veneration. In Dasya Bhav, still there is awe and veneration. But in Sakhyaras, even that awe and veneration gets converted into fraternity, friendship. on the Sakyarist platform, the devotee sometimes offers the Lord service and sometimes makes Krishna serve him in exchange. In their mock fighting, the cowherd boys would sometimes climb on Krishna's shoulders and sometimes they would make Krishna climb on their shoulder. Like that. So awe and veneration are absent and this rasa is predominated by conferential service. Therefore, Sakyarasa is characterized by the qualities of all three rasas and so on. Basically, it's just progressing that way. Then, Vatsalya includes all these three plus the parental affection also. So Krishna is controlled at that platform of Sakyaras. Then on the platform of Vatsalyaras, it includes all the three things in the form of service and maintenance. Previous was also service, but here it is that of protective service. That is the mood of the Vatsalya Bhava Bhaktas. The essence of fraternal love is intimacy devoid of the formality and veneration found in Dasyaras. And due to greater sense of intimacy, the devotee functions in parental love, chastises and rebukes the Lord in an ordinary way. On the platform of parental love, the devotee considers himself the Lord's maintainer. Thus, the Lord is the object of maintenance, like a son. And therefore, the mellow is full of qualities of four rasas. This is more transcendental nectar, like that. So the purport, Prabhupada basically summarizes everything that we discussed. How each of these rasas are incrementally building up to the next level. Like that. And then finally it says about the Madhurya ras. So they have a couple of references. Then when Damodarashtakam verse is also got. Then we'll read the Madhurya ras once. Text 231. Madhurya rase Krishna nishta seva atisaya. Sakhera asankocha lalana mamatadhikahaya.
On the platform of conjugal love, attachment for Krishna, rendering service unto him, the relaxed feelings of fraternity and the feelings of maintenance, all increases in intimacy.
On the platform of conjugal love, the devotee offers his body in service to the Lord. Thus, on this platform, the transcendental qualities of all five rasas are present. And the material qualities evolve one after another in the material elements, beginning from ether by gradual evolution. First one quality develops, then two, then three, until all five are found in the earth. Similarly, the platform of conjugal love, all the feelings of devotees are amalgamated and the intensified taste is certainly wonderful. So this exactly. So can you imagine? Matter though is coming from spirit. We are giving a material example to understand spiritual subject. So how in the material world, how touch, the ether has only the capacity to transmit sound. Air has sound and touch. Fire has form also. Then water has taste also. Earth has smell also. So how you are incrementally building up. Like that all these five rasas are expanding. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then concluded, I have simply given a general survey describing the mellows of devotional service. You can consider how to adjust and expand this. When one thinks of Krishna constantly, love for him manifests within the heart. Even though one may be ignorant, one can reach the far shore of the ocean of transcendental love by Krishna's mercy. Etabali prabhu tare karila alingana. Varanasi charibare prabhura hailamana.
After saying this, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu embraced Srila Rupa Goswami. The Lord then decided to go to the city of Benares.
The next morning when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu arose and prepared to leave for Varanasi, Rupa Goswami submitted the following statement to the lotus feet of the Lord. Agyahaya asimui sri charana sange sahite na parimui virahatarange.
If you give me permission, I shall go with your lordship. It is not possible for me to tolerate the waves of separation.
Prabhu kahe tomara kartavya amara vachana. Nikate ashiyache tumi yaha vrindavana.
Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu replied, your duty is to carry out my order. You have come near Vrindavan, now you should go there.
So this is where all the empowerment was sealed. So to empower someone is like pouring something in a bottle. And then finally you seal the bottle, na? So that it doesn't go out. So all the empowerment, all the teachings that Rupa Goswami got, finally, uske upar ek seal dal diya. What is the seal? The instruction that he should go stay in Vrindavan. So this is that order he got. Vrindavan haite tumi gaudadesha diya. Amare miliba nila chalete ashiya.
Later you can go from Vrindavan to Jagannath Puri through Bengal, Gaudadesh. There you will meet me again.
After embracing Rupa Goswami, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu got into the boat. Rupa Goswami fainted and fell down at the spot. The Brahmana then from Deccan took Rupa Goswami to his home, and thereafter the two brothers departed for Vrindavan. After walking and walking, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu finally arrived at Varanasi, where he met Chandrasekhara, who was coming out of the city. In the dream, Chandrasekhara had seen the Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had come to his home. Therefore, in the morning, Chandrasekhara went outside the city to receive the Lord. Can you imagine? हम लोग इतना ईमेल भेजने के बाद भी लोग आते नहीं पिकअप करने के लिए. महाप्रभु ने सिर्फ एक ड्रीम भेज दिया, बस हो गया. ही केम टू पिकिंग अप. व्हाइल चंद्रशेखर वाज वेटिंग आउटसाइड द सिटी, ही सडनली सॉ चैतन्य महाप्रभु अराइव एंड फेल डाउन एट द लॉर्ड्स फीट. बीइंग वेरी हैप्पी, ही टुक द लॉर्ड टू हिज होम. तपन मिश्रा ऑल्सो हर्ड द न्यूज ऑफ द लॉर्ड्स अराइवल इन वाराणसी. ही वेंट टू चंद्रशेखर्स हाउस टू मीट हिम. आफ्टर टॉकिंग, ही इन्वाइटेड द लॉर्ड टू टेक लंच एट हिज प्लेस. Tapan Mishra took Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to his house and gave him lunch. Chandrasekhara invited Balabhadra Bhattacharya to take his lunch too. After offering lunch to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Tapan Mishra begged a favor from the Lord and requested him to award his mercy. As long as your lordship stay in Varanasi, please do not accept an invitation from anyone else but me. Then it is known to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that he would remain there only for 5 or 7 days. He would not accept an invitation from that involved Mayavadi sannyasis. With this understanding, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu agreed to accept lunch at the place of Tapan Mishra, the Lord made his residence at the home of Chandrasekhara. The Maharashtrian Brahmin came and the Lord met him. Out of affection, the Lord bestowed his mercy upon him. Who is this Maharashtrian Brahmin? What is the specialty about Maharashtrian Brahmin? To meet the Prakashan sir, yes. Hearing that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had come, all the respectable members of the Brahmana and Kshatriya communities came to see him. Much mercy was thus bestowed upon Sri Rupa Goswami, and I have briefly described all those topics. Whoever hears a narration with faith and love certainly develops love of God and the lotus feet of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Praying at the lotus feet of Sri Rupa and Raghunatha, always desiring their mercy, I, Krishnadasa, narrate Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, following in their footsteps. Thus ends the Bhaktivinoda purport of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhya Leela, 19th chapter, describing Lord's instruction to Sri Rupa Goswami at Prayag in the science of devotional service. Hari Bol!